Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Can We Talk Fridays, coming to you live. I am your host, Raz Williams. Guys, you know where to find us, blogtalkradio.com/RazWill, every Friday from 8 to 9:30 p.m. Can We Talk is what we do. Guys, listen, it's Friday. It's the weekend. No work, at least for some of us anyway. So what I want you to do, guys, today is like kick back, relax, get a glass of water, a glass of lemonade or some iced tea, and enjoy the show, guys, because we have a good show tonight. I'm kind of looking forward to discussing tonight's topic. I picked this topic because this topic has been the focus of many a man's conversations, and I think that it's only right to share it with you guys. But please don't misunderstand, I'm sorry. Tonight's show is not about pointing the finger or putting any particular person or persons down, but we just simply want to shine the light on some areas that need to be addressed. But before we do that, I want to share something with you that was on my mind this week. And I've been thinking about some things about my life. And I've been through a lot of different things. And I know some of you have been through some things as well. And there's a lot of you listening right now that have had nothing but a lifetime of problems and issues. And God wants to encourage you today that the tide is about to turn for you. I know it seems like you've had it harder than most people. But God has been preparing you and shaping you and molding you for something special. Don't be confused. I know some of you are thinking like, you know, maybe God hates me or he doesn't like me very much. But nothing can be further from the truth. God loves you very much and he's been preparing you for something special. He wants to flow in your life. He wants you to have power. He wants you to reach your goals. And he wants you to impact other people more importantly. God understands all the heartache you've been through. He understands the rejection you've had to deal with and all of the heartbreak you've experienced throughout your entire life. But I want you to know, guys, there's more to the story than meets the eye. I mean, there's something special that God is doing. Some of you felt like you just want to give up because you think that there's nothing better for you, nothing for you to look forward to. But I'm here to tell you that the Lord wants you to, he wants you to think differently tonight. That's nothing but the devil lying to you, telling you that you're worthless, telling you that your dreams, the things that you've been hoping for are never going to happen, will never happen, won't happen. Guys, those are lies. No matter what you've been through, no matter what you're hoping for, no matter how long it's taken, your time is about to come. So, guys, I need you guys to be patient. This is going to be a time for some of you for an adjustment. I mean, God is probably going to be, there's going to be certain doors that are going to close in your life. There's going to be certain doors that God will open in your life. Let God lead you through this time. And some of you might see some drastic changes in your life, but the Lord wants you to stay close to him through it all and everything else is going to take place. Just stick with God. One of the things that I believe that God is going to do that he's been doing in my life is relationships are going to be adjusted. There are going to be people that God has allowed in your life for a time but he's not going to allow them anymore because these people are not ready to go forward with you and what God has called you to do. So, by the way, I mean, a lot of people, some of you have been rejected unfairly, treated badly, but as soon as God starts to bless your life and move you in a powerful and wonderful way, these people are going to want to come back in your life. And they're going to use the relative card, the ex-boyfriend card, the ex-girlfriend card. But God wants you to politely tell them, no. You can forgive them, but be firm. God has put a boundary on purpose because they're not safe to be in your life. God's going to be adding a lot of replacements in your life. That's new people that are faithful, that will stick to you through thick and thin, people that will lift you up and not tear you down or stab you in the back when things get tough. And some of you, there's going to be a time of healing. God is going to heal a lot of you. Some of you have had like illnesses and sicknesses and things that have plagued you for years, but God is saying, I'm going to heal all that right now. So, guys, that's something that the Lord put in my heart to share with you guys this week, and I've been kind of thinking about that, and I think that as long as we stay in Christ and stay focused on the main thing, which is God, I think that you'll experience some wonderful changes in your life. So I just want to share that with you guys, and that's my comment. But anyway, let's get to tonight's topic. Today's topic is titled Bad Boys or God's Boy. Who will you choose? This show is for the ladies, particularly we're targeting women. And I'm not doing it in an unfair way. I know some of you are thinking, Raz, what about the men's? Well, listen, that's true. We'll talk about the men. But you know what they say, ladies first. And I think it's only fair that we dedicate a whole show to the men. But tonight we're going to talk about the ladies. And, again, we're not pointing the finger. We just want to discuss some issues and talk about some things because we are called, after all, Can We Talk? So, guys, you know what to do. Call us at 347-945-7310. Or you can email us at canwetalkradio@gmail.com. Men, are you confused about what women want in a dating relationship? One of the main things single men are confused about is the conflict between what single women say they want in a man versus what they are attracted to. Like a moth to a flame, many women are drawn to thugs, bad boys, and players, slip tricks, all of that. Why am I talking about this tonight? I'm talking about this because there is a torrent of distorted information out there in today's society that perpetuates error and causes people to make bad choices in their lives. For example, you have Beyonce and Destiny's Child making a song, I Need a Soldier, and they're saying that if his status ain't hood, I'm not checking for him. Hollywood also, TVs, magazines, all of these things glamorize stuff like this. And by what they say, they never show you the aftermath of such poor decision making. And if you're a true Christian woman listening tonight, are you really accepting the word of God telling you what is right or wrong or what the standard is for your life, or are you listening to the world? So with that said, I want to introduce my co-hosts. I think Alicia's in the building. Alicia, you there?
Yes, I'm here, Raz.
What's going on, Allie?
Not much. Good to be here again.
Man, I didn't think you were going to make it today.
I'm always here. If I say I'm here, I'm here.
Oh, there you go.
So yeah,
there you
go. I'm here. Yeah. No, it's been a long week, but nonetheless, I'm here for the night's topic and excited for it. It sounds like a good show topic, and I enjoyed your show opener. I was listening as you were sharing, and it was encouraging me even hearing those words too. So I'm sure it blessed a lot of people as they were listening as well.
Oh, absolutely. Praise God for that. And Alicia, so you had a good week, though?
Yeah, it's been a long week, but a good week. So I guess, as they say, thank God it's Friday. even though I have to work this weekend, but still, thank God it's Friday.
Right. And, you know, for guys, for those of you that don't know, Alicia is a comedian. Alicia, do you have a joke for us right now? Or?
Oh, man, you put me on the spot. I wish I would have prepared a joke or two for you. I mean, I would have had something ready, but I'm not such a good comedian that I just have a joke hiding up my sleeve somewhere. So
okay.
I wish I would have thought in advance that I would have had a good one ready.
No problem. It's so complicated with you, Alicia. All right, well, check this out. I'm excited to have Nikki on the line for the very first time on Can We Talk Radio. Nikki, how you doing?
Hey, Raz, I'm good.
Good, man.
Thanks,
it's good to have you on Can We Talk. Cool. And what do you think of tonight's topic, Nikki?
I actually think that it's a wonderful topic. I think that it needs to be talked about more, especially in the believers community. It's something that's kind of like overlooked. And, you know, because people are looking for companionship, you know, we turn a blind eye to, you know, certain things just so we won't be alone. So I think it's a good topic. I think it's, you know, going to get a lot of feedback.
Absolutely. Nikki, tell everyone where you're calling from.
Oh, I'm calling from Atlanta, California.
All right. That's what's up. Good to have you on the show, Nikki.
Thanks.
I want to go to our next co-host. She goes by the name of Pamela, my big sister. Pammy, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, blessed. And how's everyone doing?
Good.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you so much, Brother Raz, for having me on this evening. I'm really interested in hearing the different comments about this topic. And it seems to be a good topic because a lot of women tend to need, you know, good advice and may not have people that they can talk to and get the encouragement that I believe is going to come out of this radio show tonight.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Thanks for having you on the show, Pamela. It's good to have you on.
Thank you very much.
Next co-host that we have on the show today is, she was on the show for the first time last week. She's back again. And PK, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you doing? Thank you so much for having me on the show again. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely, PK. PK, so what do you think about tonight's topic?
I think it's a great topic. This is something that I've personally been through myself. And, you know, it's always great to be able to come back and speak to those that need that guidance, because a bunch of the generation that's out here today, they do not have that guide. And so for me to be older now, already having been through this, tonight will kind of be like talking to my younger self, because I have a lot of wisdom, I have a lot of knowledge and experience from, you know, going through unhealthy relationships because I was chasing and looking for my father, and didn't find him. but I'm just so glad that God brought me out of those situations okay, and that I was able to look back on those situations, you know, just to be here. So that's definitely a blessing. So yeah, I think it'll be like talking to my younger self tonight.
Oh, that's awesome. That's absolutely a good thing. And I want to introduce my main man, Ronnie Ambrose. Hey, Ronnie, how you doing, sir?
I'm good, Raz. How are you?
Blessed, man. Good to have you on the show again, Brother Ronnie. Listen, Ronnie, man, what do you think about tonight's topic, bro?
I'm looking forward. I think this topic is going to allow all these strong women on the panel to pour into, you know, whichever young lady might either be listening now or through the archives. I think this is going to give them a platform to really guide and help, you know, some of the women in the body of Christ, you know, as to, you know, either consequences or experiences or what you can expect if you, you know, make the wrong choice or step out of or compromise your belief. So I'm looking forward to tonight's topic also enlightening me as well. So things are going to be good.
Absolutely. Good you having the show, Ronnie. And I think we have Sonya on the line. Sonya from Maryland. How you doing, Sonya?
I'm well. How are you guys?
Good. Good to have you on the show, man. So, Sonya, what do you think of today's topic?
It's an interesting topic. I'm actually in California, and I have to listen via my phone because I'm at a psychology conference. But I was like, wow, what an interesting topic. So I'm looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say.
All right, man. And Sonya, you've been following our show for how long now?
For over a month and a half, I believe, yeah.
Oh,
since
really?
The show about premarital sex.
Oh, really? Okay, that's what's up. So let me ask you, Sonya, has this show been benefiting you in any kind of way?
Oh, my gosh, this show convicts me in so many ways. I think about little things that you guys say all the time, especially when Ronnie said it's not about the temptation, it is about the desire. I quote that to myself every day that I go out just to be mindful of my thought life. I really appreciate what you guys have to offer.
Wow. So what would you tell people that don't know about Can We Talk Radio?
I tell people, if you're just struggling with trying to follow Christ, because I'm someone who's been a believer since I was 10, but I did it for fire insurance. And now that I'm an adult, I really want to appreciate what Christ is and trying to understand that. And this show is a great opportunity just to tell your flaws and just wait for the encouragement to come, because the encouragement comes every week.
Wow, absolutely. That's guys, you heard it, folks. Can We Talk Radio is officially in the building, and you know, we're changing lives, and it's not us, it's God that's working through us, and people like Sonya, and, you know, I want to give a big shout-out to people like Ronnie Ambrose. We've got powerful women like Alicia Cheney, who's helping to change lives, and we're trying to get better every single week. So, guys, we just want to thank you for tuning in, and keep listening to the show. I mean, every show may not be for you, but there's going to be a show that you may be able to identify with. So we just encourage you to keep listening in and go from there, man. So, Ronnie, man, it's news time. What do we got going on in the world today, man?
Okay, well, I got this story here about the Obama administration. It's this happened, well, this court proceeding, I guess, was filed earlier this month, and so it was rejected, and the news came in about it this week. And so the Obama administration's Equal Employment Opportunity Commission dismissed a religious discrimination claim from a substitute teacher who believes he was fired because he's a member of an international religious organization that distributes Bibles. And so a man named Walt Tutka, a substitute teacher from the Phillipsburg School District, was fired earlier this year after he handed a Bible to a student. So Tutka told a young man in the back of a line that the first shall be last and the last shall be first. And so when the student asked Tutka where did that phrase come from, Tutka pulled out a pocket New Testament, and showed him the Bible verse. And so when the student told the teacher that he didn't own a Bible of his own, Tutka gave the young man his own copy. And then the school district later charged Tutka with violating a rule that forbids the distribution of religious literature. So the school board terminated his employment in January. And so, you know, this substitute teacher, you know, is doing what he's called to do, you know, lead people to Christ and give people the word at any cost. And so, you know, a young man in high school takes an interest and, you know, the brother goes as far as to give him his own Bible and he gets fired for that. But in the same right, these schools are teaching, you know, things that are against God and you know, things that oppose God with no problem. So, you know, this is the climate. This is what's going on. I just want to, you know, since the topic's out there, you know, if anybody has anything to say, like Alicia, you got anything to say about this news?
Yeah, I appreciate you for keeping us enlightened with all this wonderful information. And it once again takes me back to
just my thoughts, how important it is for us as Christians to not only be aware of what's going on, but vocalize our concerns, because ultimately, if the school district is standing on some sort of law that says, okay, you're not able to distribute any sort of religious material, why then are Christians not speaking up in objection to that law? Because before a law can ever be made a law, it has to be voted on and passed by the people who we put in office. And so we have to, as Christians, start being more conscientious about the people that we elect into office and making sure they uphold Christian and biblical values, so then when issues like this come to the forefront, they're not opposing anything that represents God. No prayer in school, no passing out religious material in school, but yet they can teach that, you know, we evolve from, you know, we basically evolve from aliens, or not aliens, but apes, or different things that are completely contrary to the Word of God. So I just say that we as Christians cannot afford in this season to at all be quiet, and we have to begin to speak out, and even at the risk of being potentially persecuted, because we're really in a day and age where I think a lot of people are afraid to speak up because they are afraid that, oh, gosh, I'm going to experience backlash. Well, that's just the nature of this, the culture that we're living in. So I just say, you know, so that's basically my thought on that whole situation, that we just have to remain aware of what's going on and be willing to speak up to our elected officials, so that situations like a, you know, substitute teacher getting released for just distributing the gospel is not considered breaking the law.
I agree. PK, you want to add anything to that?
Just to say, what you said, Alicia, was very, very much on point, and I definitely concur. All that I have to add is that it's a shame that the school districts, and just the world in general, is wanting to stay in their carnality, wanting to stay in ignorance, instead of taking the initiative to step over into their divinity and figure out how great God is and what he can do in their life and through them. I just think it's ridiculous, you know, and with religion not being offered or given to the youth, which I believe really needs it out here. I mean, if you look at the generation that we have, and I say it a lot, I feel we have a generation that's filled with so much self-hatred and ignorance, because the people before us, somewhere down the line, they failed. They fail, and we're not doing our job as the elders to help pick our generation back up. You know, so I believe in this day and age we need God. We need God as much as possible. So I just think it's ridiculous.
You know, I'm just sitting here thinking about when prayer was taken out of the school. The lady that signed those, got that law passed, the church was very complacent. No one stood up to, you know, oppose that, you know, decision. And if you look back over the years when we were younger and we said the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, you know, there was no violence that came to the schools. If you notice now, the times that we're living in, since prayer has been taken out of the schools, there's been more violence, more shootings. The devil's just run rampant, and the church is not taking its rightful stand to stand up. We need more Joshuas. We need more people to stand. The kingdom of heaven is set for violence, and violence take it by force. And if we don't take that stand, then it's going to continue to get worse. And you know, I have a coworker, a young 21-year-old kid, was witnessing. Called me today at my job. He was witnessing to a gangbanger. He got shot in the neck a week ago. So, you know, he came to the job to pick up the kids yesterday. Thank God the Holy Spirit was with him, because when the bullet went through his front of his neck, it came out his back. He's still able to walk around right now with a patch.
and is making a snap. Like, it's like him taking a stand to witness to a person to see the types of things that can happen. That's why we got to band together and pray together and come against the spirit. Otherwise, it's just going to get worse.
I agree. Graz, you want to say anything?
I think that Alicia, very well, as usual, she made an excellent point in a comment to responding to what the news was, and I think that there's a Christian Holocaust that's about to come upon this land and throughout the world, and I think that the time of man's rule on the earth is coming to an end, and we're going to see the arising of the Antichrist government throughout the world, where Christians are going to be persecuted. So this is just the first wave of things that are about to come. It's going to get more intensified as time goes on. The governments of this world, the systems of this world are all in allegiance to the Antichrist, and they're going to make it very hard for Christians to be able to worship God and to reach the lost and to preach the word of God. We're going to become like outlaws. It's really going to get bad. So, and I think Ronnie and Alicia, we need to do a show about the end times. I think that's been a long time coming. We've got to let people know exactly why we serve Christ Jesus. Why are we doing this? Are we doing this for fun? What does this all mean? You know what I'm saying? I think we need to do a show about that pretty soon. But that's my comment, guys.
Well, that's the only news that I brought today. But, from what I heard from everyone on the panel, let's just encourage each other to, one, be aware, and two, to be involved in what's going on socially and, politically as far as we should, because we know we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we don't just stand still either. So I just want to encourage everybody to be aware, be involved, and, speak up, we can put a stop to some of these things. Not every move that's wicked has to pass. So let's just band together and use our votes and use our dollars and use our presence to shed some light. So that's it for the news.
Mm-hmm. Awesome news, Lonnie. Good job as usual, and thanks for bringing that information to us. That's very necessary news that we need to hear and start utilizing. Really start thinking, guys. Really start waking up to what's going on around you. So good job, Lonnie. Well, guys, let's get to the show, man. I want as many people to call in the show as possible. I want these lines to blow up tonight. This is a hot topic, and the number to call in, guys, is 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. Or you can email us at canwetalkradio1@gmail.com. Guys, if you're a woman listening tonight, or you're a Christian woman who has rejected a man, a good man, a safe man, or a predictable man for no good guy, then we would love to hear from you tonight. So call us in. If you're a man who's been rejected by a woman because you were too nerdy or you're not a bad boy, you can call us too. So with that said, I wanna pose this first question to Alicia, then to Nikki, and then to Pam. And the first question that I had written down for today's topic was, is there a conflict between what single women say they want in a man versus what they are attracted to? And Alicia, I want you to kind of comment on that from a woman's perspective.
And just so I make sure I heard you correctly, you said, is there a conflict between what they're attracted to and what?
Is there a conflict between what single women, and I'm assuming Christian single women, say that they want in a man versus what they are really attracted to?
Okay, and what they're attracted to.
For example, a woman could say, oh, I want a man of God. I want him to, be this and be that in the church, what have you. But as soon as Bone Thug comes along, it's a wrap.
Yeah, I'm sure there are many women who are listening to that scenario who probably could relate to that. So to answer your question, I would say that there are, you know, there definitely probably is somewhat of a conflict for some women between what they say they want and what they actually end up going after or end up, ending, you know, being with. I can think of myself just in the circle of people that I know. I can think of a handful of, you know, girls from growing up or what have you who have all said, you know, we want God-fearing man who loves the Lord, good provider, all those things that every woman typically writes down on her list of things that she desires in a future mate. But then when I look at, you know, for example, maybe the individual that she tends to date doesn't always line up with that. So I believe that sometimes people can settle, or they may still have, you know, weaknesses within themselves where they give in to certain types of men that maybe they dated in their past, and instead of making a different decision today, they go back to that same thing that God delivered them from yesterday. And so I just say that anytime, you know, God delivers you from a situation, I can think of the types of men who I dated in college. They're different from the type of men that I would date today. And the reason is because I'm a different person. And so when God delivered me and changed who I am, I wouldn't now, if the enemy were to bring that type of person across my pathway, I wouldn't be attracted to that type of individual today because now I'm a different person. And so I just think that as women, we also have to just be conscious of the fact that if at one point, you know, that thuggish type of guy was maybe your weakness, you have to be mindful that at some point the enemy may try to bring that same type of person just packaged in a different form across your pathway, because that could be your stumbling block. So, yeah, I would say that women say they want one thing, but at times they may end up going after or settling for something different than what they express they want.
Excellent point, Alicia. Let me ask you, Alicia, I'm going to ask you a question. If you had a choice between Urkel and a thug, who would you choose?
Well, I, you know what, I'd have to say I can't say I would go for either Urkel or the thug. And just because I'm not attracted to Steve Urkel, sorry, Steve Urkel. But no, I guess if it had to be one or the other, that wouldn't necessarily fit into my mold, because truly what I desire the most in a man is, where's your heart for God? I want a man who loves God more than what he loves me. And so if I were looking just superficially, okay, at appearance, and somebody looks nerdy and then somebody else looks, you know, thuggish per se, neither of those types fall into the type of man that I want, you know. So can't really say that Urkel would appeal to me or the thug.
Okay, Alicia.
I mean, I can't say that either would appeal. I mean, that's just me. But now, I've had guys joke with me and say, I remember I used to work at one point several years ago, worked full-time in ministry, and I used to, you know, be the director over this after-school program. And one of the gentlemen who worked with us, he, you know, would always kind of, you know, joke with me and another one of the girls, you know, is our sisters in Christ, and like, oh, yeah, at least you just want you an educated thug. And I'm like, whatever, I don't want an educated thug. I mean, a guy that has a swagger, I don't want a guy that's like stiff as a beanpole. But at the same time, I'm not interested in that guy who's riding down the street, you know, smoking weed and just has no, you know, that's just not appealing to me.
All right, I see that. And you mentioned a word called swagger, and I want to talk about that in a little bit, swagger. What exactly, how do we actually define swagger? But I'm gonna thanks a lot for that, Alicia. That was a good point. You definitely articulated your point very well. I'm going to pose that same question to Nikki as far as, is there a conflict between what single women say they want in a man versus what they are attracted to?
Well, I would have to say, like Alicia said, with things, your views change when you mature. But I think what the problem is that the things that they say single women, especially single Christian women, say that they want in a man is truly what they want. But the problem is that the good guys, it's not that the good guys aren't out there. It's just that the bad ones are more assertive and more accessible. So it's not that, you know, it's like the guys in church, what have you, they maybe because they've been hurt or they've been through a few things, they don't want to deal with issues of rejection. So they already feel or they already have the impression that decent guys are under, you know, are women are going to just turn them down because, quote, unquote, that old cliche, nice guys finish last. So they're not assertive. So therefore, you have the bad guys that are going to be more assertive. It's not necessarily that the women, you know, the things that they say that they want, they don't really want. It's just the fact of, it's the fear of being alone, I guess. And, like, for me, if I were to define a bad guy, you know, most of the time when we look in society at the bad guys and say, well, why is she with him and he's dogging her out and blah, blah, blah. Well, a bad guy is usually outwardly he looks good, but however, he's unwilling to offer true love in a relationship. He lacks character. He's usually immature, a liar. He's sexually promiscuous, selfish. You know, and he's so preoccupied with himself that he can't share genuine compassion or concern because he's not even interested in true love. So no woman in her right mind would be interested in that guy. But it's like the ball is basically in his court and he can have the pick because the good guys are so, you know, timid, for lack of a better word, that they won't even step out. So the bad guy or the wolf in sheep's clothing, he can mask himself, however, just to get in. You see what I mean? So I don't think it's the fact that they don't want, that they're not attracted or well, what your question was, is there a conflict? I don't think that there's necessarily a conflict, but human nature, we all want compassion. So I think that that's where the conflict is.
Okay. So let me ask you this, Nikki. If don't give me that politically correct statement that Alicia gave me. If you had a choice between Urkel and a thug, who would you pick? You can't, no gray areas, either or. Who would you pick?
Okay, if Urkel is the guy who serves the Lord, Urkel would be the guy
I didn't say that.
Personally, because of who I am, and we're talking on a Christian topic, right? So if Urkel is the guy who serves the Lord, then I'm going to go for Urkel because Alicia mentioned swagger. I can teach Urkel to have swagger, but as long as he loves the Lord, then I know he's going to love me. I'm not interested in the thug anyway. Even when I wasn't saved, I wasn't interested in the thug, you know, because, I mean, I'm from the area that I was brought up in, I'm just not, that's not something that's appealing to me. So, yeah, I go for Urkel because I want somebody who's intellectually stimulating, you know. And so because when Urkel became Stefan Urkel, he was the business.
Okay. All right, you guys, you heard it from Nikki, guys. Guys, if you're listening in for the first time, we're talking about bad boy or God's boy. Who will you choose? Guys, the numbers to call in is 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. Pamela, you've been kind of quiet, and I want to ask the same question to you. You've heard what Alicia and Nikki had to say. What do you think about that question?
I would say that there would only be a concern if the woman is a Christian woman and she's having difficulty with, you know, meeting whatever her spiritual needs versus her physical needs. And most of us even Christian women who have been through the different types of men that appear to be spiritual, but we found out later that they weren't, then, you know, we've pretty much matured and gotten beyond having that difficulty with choosing the bad boy versus the good boy. If the woman is looking to fulfill her physical needs or her emotional needs, then most likely she may be stimulated by the influence of the bad boy. But if she's pursuing her, you know, fulfilling her spiritual needs
such as I know I am, and it sounds like the women that are on here are definitely in that same category, we're not going to, you know, it's not going to be a conflict for us, okay, because we're not going to be deceived. We're not going to allow ourselves to be in a position to be deceived. And what happens is if a woman is walking in the, you know, more concerned about fulfilling her physical needs or her emotional needs, then she can fall subject to being attracted to the bad boy, because the bad boy is going to tell her what she wants to hear, okay? And so here the danger is the bad boy, he will even tell her a lie if it's going to get her caught up in her emotions or whatever, you know, he feels that he can draw her closer to him. But deception is the bad boy, he's trying to think that they have some connection or some compatibility, he wants her to believe that she's some sports guy. But,
hey, Pam, we're having a lot of static on your line.
There's something in the background, too. I don't know. I don't think it's. I don't know if it's missing here, but.
We can hear you now. We can hear you now, Pam. We can hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay. So like I was saying, the only conflict that will be there if the spiritual woman is seeking more spiritual growth, or is she looking to fulfill her physical or emotional needs. And that's where the conflict is going to come in. Okay? Because as we know, we women have to keep balance. And we can't, you know, either we're going to follow our head or we're going to follow our heart. Okay? And that's where the importance of staying closer to God and seeking the things of God, so that we won't fall into that conflict. Oh, well, the bad boy looks better to me because now he's going to be a reflection of who we are. And therefore, a Christian woman is going to lean more toward a good guy versus the bad boy, because we want that guy to stimulate our spiritual needs and connect with us spiritually. But I do feel that a lot of women that are not rooted and grounded in the Word can be influenced to lean toward going toward that side of the fence, because bad boys can be fun and they can be exciting. And, you know, even for myself, I could remember dating guys that were outgoing and funny and made me laugh and I had a great time with them. But down the road, as I learned that there was no real compatibility spiritually, that's when I had to draw the line. And you know, many of looking back in the past where I've made a lot of mistakes, I can see now what to avoid and not to allow myself to get caught up into that. I do believe there are some good Christian guys out there that have some what we call swagger, but they just need to open up. They need to, you know, they need to approach us, because if they sit back and don't approach us, then it makes us look like, you know, we're impatient or we're being too aggressive, and then they'll misunderstand our personality for being aggressive or worldly or what have you. I think Christian men need to be, you know, make themselves known. You know, don't just sit back and wait for us to approach them, but they should approach us and feel free to strike up a conversation, because, again, the bad boy is more aggressive. They're going to speak, and they're most likely going to say what we think we want to hear or we desire to hear. And deep down inside, we know, we can discern, you know, we pay really close attention, we can really discern, but for those women who are not really spiritually rooted and grounded, they won't have that discerning gift. And they can be influenced and deceived, and they can be, you know, pulled astray, as we call it, or led astray. But I really think... Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, Pam, you made a good point. Now, guys, if you're listening, I'm sorry, Pam, I didn't mean to cut you. Were you going to say something else?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Guys, if you're listening, men, if you're listening, you heard it, Ronnie. You guys, you better approach these women. Don't be scared. Don't be timid.
Right.
Anyways.
Yeah, because it makes us feel like we want to initiate saying hello without them assuming that we're desperate or... You know, a lot of women are very outgoing and outspoken today. We want to strike up a conversation, but sometimes we don't know how, because we don't want to give off the wrong impression either.
Right.
Okay. That sounds okay. That's That's what's up. So I'm going to ask, I'm going to go to PK real quick before we go to the next question. PK, you mentioned before that you had falling into this trap, and I want to ask the same question to you real fast and hear what you have to say about that. Hello, PK, you there?
PK.
PK. Okay, PK, if you're listening, call us back. I think we've been disconnected there. Sonia, I'm going to pass that next question to you. Hello, Sonia, you on the line? Okay, we lost Sonia too. All right, guys. Well, let's go to the next question, Ronnie. I want to ask this question to you, man. I want to talk about the media. Actually, before I talk about that, I want to, you know, Alicia mentioned Swagger. Tamala mentioned Swagger. Nikki talked about Swagger. So what is this thing called Swagger, man? How are we going to quantify and describe this word called Swagger? What is this Swagger, and how does it affect these women as far as they say, I ain't a man who has Swagger? Let's talk about Swagger, man.
Oh, man.
I know,
well,
right?
I mean, from what I take of it, I guess it's just another way to say style, or how could I say it? I mean, I take it, when I hear it as somebody's style, you know, or somebody's way, or, you know, swagger, you know. I guess that's what it's about, you know, that special little something that you have that separates you from the rest, or, you know, or that something that you add to what's already going on, you know, I guess that's considered, you know, swagger or persona, you know. And so, you know, I just think it's about a man being a man, you know. If you do what you're supposed to do, you know, like these ladies say, you know, speak up and say something and act like you're interested, so they don't have to get, you know, what's, you know, the slim pickings that are pushing up on them, you know. That's your swag. That's your, you know, I mean, just, you know, I think it's for masculinity, you understand? I think that term is probably not the correct term, but, you know, I'm not, like, trying to correct anyone. I'm saying I understand. We didn't use that term, you know, in my day. It was just, you know, your style or your way, or, you know, the way you get down, you know, how you operate, you know, so... you know, we just want the brothers to, I think being original really lets them see your persona. If you be yourself, if you stand out from the crowd, you know, you don't have to wear what everybody's wearing. You don't have to approach the way everybody's approaching. If you let them see that, you know, there's something about you that the rest don't have, you know, that might be considered, you know, your swagger, you know. Or your advantage too sometimes, but I mean that's when that term comes to mind. That's how I can positively express that term.
Absolutely, that's a good point, man. Ronnie, I think we should open up a new business called Swag School. Hey, what do you think about that?
A new business?
Yeah, called Swag School. We're going to open up a school for swag to teach how to be how to be swag.
We'd have to change the title because, you know, that swag has another thing connected to it. So
absolutely. And if they're under the age of 18 or under the age of 15, we're going to call it Swig School. How about that? They don't want to have swag, they'll have swig.
Right.
Anyway. Anyway, man, I want to. Huh?
You might get more students if you use the word swag, though.
I know. But, Ronnie, I was going to ask you a question, and the next question I was going to ask was the media's influence. Has the media brainwashed women into desiring ungodly characteristics in men? I know let's take Beyonce, for example. Here's a chick that dated a thug. You know, Jay-Z's been known to, you know, I remember one time, I don't know if you see that video on YouTube, he punched a woman in the face. He's been a known drug dealer in his past, and, you know, maybe a few homicides. Who knows? You know what I'm saying? So, and he ends up being very wealthy, and we all know where he got his wealth from. So that's a whole other conversation in itself. But here you have Beyonce, who was a good little Christian girl, you know, in an R&B girl group and marries a thug and lives happily ever after, or does she? So when women see this kind of stuff, they're especially the weak-minded ones, are gonna. Would you say that that would influence their thinking as far as desiring a certain type of dude?
I'm gonna say it might play a part, you know, because you got the you can choose to do, you know, what everyone else is doing, and so I know what I'll say as far as the media. I'm not just gonna, you know, make it seem like this is something that only happens to women, but you know, if what you watch, what you listen to, what you talk about reinforces and brings to mind things that you may do. It may even make something, and if you get enough of the same imagery and the same negative thing being accepted, you know, you might make an excuse for falling for it yourself. And so, you know, unfortunately, we, you know, I grew up, the TV raised me, you know, the you know, the fashion and the styles that were out there, you know, from the media is what I would follow. So, you know, when they were calling girls B-word, that's what I was doing. You know, when we wanted a certain girl, you know, we didn't want a girl for conversation, you know, then I didn't want a girl for conversation. So if it affected me that way, you know, I'm sure that there's a percentage of girls growing up, you know, if you show, you keep showing a girl that there's no other option except for this certain kind of guy, you know, they're going to go for it. And if you keep showing that this kind of guy is the one that's successful, the young men are going to, you know, fill that role. And so, you know, people will be living out what they were told to live out via suggestion and, you know, just programming, and you're just seeing it over and over, and you think that's how it is. So a little baby girl growing up watching it, she's going to think that's how it is, and there's nothing any better, and there's no reason to look for anything else and no reason to question what's going on. And so, you know, there's room for somebody to fall victim to, you know, the media steadily showing you this is what's good, this is how it should be, you know, and even if it's negative, you'll accept it.
Absolutely. I'm gonna pose that same question to Alicia, because Alicia, I know you were in the entertainment industry, and how do you think that movies, television, sitcoms, novels, and society overall, it seems that you know, bad boy, thuggish type of men excite women, and you know, and they seem to have all the same common denominators. And even in cartoons, I was watching Popeye one day on the Cartoon Network, and Bluto was he managed to you know, get Oliver's attention, man. I thought that was interesting. But what do you think about that, Alicia, as far as how the media affects or shapes perceptions of women when it comes to desiring a man?
Well, the media definitely has a very strong influence on, you know, what we like, what we don't like, what we're interested in and what we're not interested in. And so I wouldn't think that when it comes to our taste in men, for some people, I wouldn't say that it would be, you know, too different for maybe some people. It's interesting, I was just on Instagram earlier this week, and somebody was tweeting, or not tweeting, but had posted a picture, and it was actually a picture of Beyonce and Jay-Z, and they were kind of just having a playful time sitting down eating and kind of being playful up on the stage while she was performing at one of her concerts. And the caption that the person wrote on the picture is, oh, they seem so in love and so supportive. Isn't this every girl's dream? And when I read it, it wasn't a photo that I liked, because personally, I didn't look at that as being the image of what I wanted for my relationship. Yeah, you do want someone who's supportive and those sort of things, but he doesn't necessarily depict the type of man that I would want. But for some people, because he does, you know, have money and power and fame, and that's what's glamorized in our society, it ends up that that's what they think, wow, this is what a good man is, until they have an opportunity to then come in contact with maybe a godly man who has other attributes that probably a Jay-Z couldn't bring to the table. Because whereas he may have all these attributes that are hyped up in the media, and that will, you know, encourage some women to say, wow, I want a man like a Jay-Z because he can do this, he can do that, he can put it down in the bedroom, you know, all these different things that women may think that are important when it comes to a relationship. You know, you see that somewhat glamorized in the media. But then on the other side of it, you don't think about, well, can he pray? Does he know his word? What are we going to stand on when we're going through difficult times? So I'll say, to answer your question, does society or the media have influence over how women view men or what they want? Definitely. But at the end of the day, I would hope that women would look beyond the facade and realize that who you may see on a stage or who you may see glamorized in the media isn't always who they are behind the closed doors. You know, what is your character like? Do you have integrity? All these other different attributes.
Mm. Okay, that's a good point, Alicia. I want to read an email that we got from a guy by the name of Ronald, and he listens to a couple of our shows, and he said that he's a 28-year-old IT professional with a master's degree in computer science, and he agrees with the assessment that he said he's experimented with the issue, and he says that he's able to pull more women in Sean John or Coogee than when he's wearing a shirt and tie. Ronnie, what do you think about that?
Well, I mean, it depends on where you go to, you know. But if he's just dealing with generally, you know, if you're dealing with the people who are who really do follow the course of this world only, you know, who are stuck on the reality shows and the trends of today, yeah, you know, I think they've developed an appreciation for, you know, the not so well dressed kind of guy. And plus, you know, we're living in a time where some of our millionaires that we hear about, you know, they don't even get out of high school. And so it's not necessarily suit and tie all the time. And, you know, I could see in today's time where I'm not saying a well-dressed man is not wanted or appreciated, but where, you know, when there was a time where a sharp-dressed guy, you know, all that meant something, you know, all that said a lot more, you know. And, you know, today it seems like the standard has been lowered. So I think that's probably what he's experiencing.
Absolutely. Pam, you had said something interesting. You said that when I asked you if there was a conflict between what women say they want and what they are attracted to, you mentioned that there is definitely a conflict between their physical needs versus their spiritual needs. So I want to ask PK this. PK, do you feel that women target men to be with because if they're a thug, there's a perception that they'll get good sex? Do you think that's a motivator for some women?
Yeah, definitely. I feel that a bunch of people out here in society are very superficial. If they're following what's in the media, there's a bunch of superficiality in the media. Take the chicks that are in the music videos. Your average woman does not have big boobs and big butt and hips and, you know, all of that. And that's the same way as far as a man goes. I feel that we have almost like put our physical, our need for physical perfection, we have almost like put it on steroids, because they have blown it up to the point that you have women out here running after that superficial image that they're not thinking about later on. It's not going to get them anywhere. There's not going to be any need for it, you know, later on. And I feel that the media is pushing a constant image of live fast, die young. They're not pushing an image of that your values and and your interests and your preferences, they change over time as you mature and you get older. It's not always going to be the same way, or you're not always going to look at things the same way as you look at them now. And so when it comes to relationships, I feel the media is a big part of the breakdown in relationships. Because you do have a lot of women not just running out through the superficiality, but are out here running after sex. They just want sex. They don't want anything other than that because they don't have anything else to offer. They're very shallow. They're very insecure. And so you have a lot of women that feel that having sex is going to be a filler for what they lack internally and spiritually. And it's not. When you have sex, you let someone into your world, and you allow that person to, once they're in your world and once the sex act is over, they take from you. And so if you have nothing there, if you started out with nothing, and now that you have allowed this person in your world to take from you, what else do you have there if you started out shallow and started out superficial? You know what I'm saying? So I feel the media is definitely pushing the image of shallowness. You know, nothing else is there to they're not helping the woman think. You know, the woman think about substance. It's just about quantity. And there needs to be more substance. There needs to be more of a standard, and that the media does not offer.
Absolutely, Nikki.
Yes.
I wanna hear what you have to say about that. I asked PK just a minute ago about, is there a conflict between a woman's physical needs and versus her spiritual needs, and when women see a thug, do they target that thug on the with the perception that he can offer them good sex? I mean, let's just keep it real. I mean, sex is a reason why people are attracted to each other, you know, in today's society, and we live in a sexual society. So what do you have to say about that?
Well, I think the media has a lot of influence on most things. I mean, everything that we deal with has to deal with the media, whether it's music, whether it's TV, whether it's online, internet, whatever. So, yeah, I do believe that it has a lot to do with it. But as far as the conflict with spiritual needs versus physical needs, I think we go back to that where, and like I said, I'm not a thug fan, but it's like when we go back to that thought of swagger, it's like I think what it is that, like, the ones who are attracted to the thuggish type of a guy, he somehow exudes confidence. Me personally, if it's not a thuggish type of guy and it's just a regular old Joe, if he exudes confidence, that's swagger. And if a guy exudes confidence, it's like it can pique your interest. Like, you know, if you're dealing with the flesh, it can pique your interest as to, well, I wonder what can he do in the bedroom, if that's where you are. But me personally, I passed all of that type of stuff. That was in my younger years. But where I am now spiritually, it's like, of course, you naturally you want someone who can please you in the bedroom. But me now where I am, before I even get to those thoughts, I want to know, can he satisfy me on a spiritual level first? And then, you know, once we get to marriage and all that, then, but I think what you're talking about and what the media, the example that the media gives, is you never see the nerdy guy with all the chicks with the big butts and the little small shorts. You see the thuggish guy or the guy with all this swagger, because me personally, Jay-Z is not an attractive man, but what it is he exudes confidence, whether it's a false confidence or whatever, but with it, what's portrayed to us is, you know, he's confident, he has all this power, he's this and he's that, And so, therefore, the confidence is what's attracting people to the most, what you would say, unappealing man. It's the confidence. So, yeah, it's like, and that can be, quote, unquote, an aphrodisiac, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, an aphrodisiac.
I wanted to ask something, Raz. As far as when you guys were talking about swagger, do you feel that certain men can watch and see what is appealing to a woman, what draws women in, and try to emulate that style?
Oh, absolutely. As a man, if men really want a particular woman, they'll do what it takes, and that's why you get a lot of men buying nice cars and don't have nice homes or live in mama's house, or they'll blow all their money on their paycheck on Sean John and Coogee and Rockaware versus putting some money in their 401k or paying for the medical benefits. Mm-hmm. So I mean, men will do a lot of things. You'd be surprised what men will do to get women's attention or to get a woman. I mean, men often change themselves. Even Christian men will even flip the script and act out of character outside of the church,
yeah,
just to get women instead of trusting in God. So I think women are very, very powerful when it comes to influencing men's actions, their behaviors, and the way they think.
And with that being said, once they get that woman, do you feel that they will keep that woman long term, off of, you know, acting out of character just to get that woman? To me, that's not them, you know, coming original. That's them putting on
Yeah, situations like that usually do not last, because you're having to conform, and you're having to mold or morph your persons into a fictional character who you think that she's looking for. And you know, the evolution of people is that we usually go back to who we truly are, and so that's going to be a hard, you know, unless you're a good actor, you know, that's going to be a tough one to maintain consistently. So, situations like that usually don't last, to be honest with you. So, it definitely pays off to be yourself, and it pays to be genuine, and really, as men, is to exude, as Nikki was saying, and you know, I think Alicia was saying the same thing, to have that confidence. And even if one thing is, you're not going to be attracted to everybody, and not everyone's going to be for you, but that's okay. But bow down gracefully and still maintain that confidence about who you are as a person. So I think that's important. And I want to quickly talk about the drama factor. And I want to ask this question to Sonia. Sonia, do you feel that good guys are too boring, therefore women like bad boys because they like the drama, they like the ups and downs, they like the fighting, it makes them more excitable? What do you think about that, Sonia?
It's so funny you asked me that question, because that's so true. With my friends, I'm known as the drama queen, and I always go for the bad boys because they're about drama. I like a good sparring partner. We have fun fussing and fighting, and unfortunately, in my whole life, making up via sex. So that was the catch of the bad boy for me.
Hmm. Okay. So do you feel like you were drawn to these guys because of that? I mean, would you purposely avoid the nice guys?
I purposely avoided the nice guys, definitely. They were going to have me be more myself and be authentic. And at that time in my life, I didn't want to be authentic because I wasn't happy with me. And so a Christian guy convicts you, and I didn't want that. I wanted someone who was just there for pleasure. And bad boys did that for me.
Wow. Well, I appreciate your honesty right there. Alicia, you there?
Yes, I am.
What do you think about what Tony said?
In regard to where she was and what she wanted at that stage, I mean, definitely that's very candid. And I would say for a number of women, probably for where you are if your interest and you're around someone who challenged you to change, then you're not going to want to be around those types of people. And if you're around a guy who's challenging you to, you know, not have sex before marriage and different things that you may want to do at that point, then you're not going to naturally desire that person. Instead, you're going to want that person who in some way kind of feeds what you're already interested in. And if that ends up being the bad boy, then that's the direction you're going to go in. And so I could see where a number of different women would probably fall into that same sort of trap or that same sort of desire, just because I don't know if it was Sonia or somebody else who mentioned earlier at the start of the show that they were in some way looking for in the men they were dating their father. And so I think that oftentimes that women, if they didn't first have that void filled in the relationship with their father, they'll end up looking for men to fill that void, and oftentimes at the expense of men who are not good for them. They're looking for those men, anything that'll fill that need to be loved, and if it's coming from something that's not good for you, then you'll stay there because you weren't ever filled up leaving home. So I guess it doesn't necessarily come across as a surprise. I think probably a lot of women have that similar experience of wanting a man who in some way feeds whatever is their desire at that stage in their life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's an excellent point. And speaking of fathers, and I want to, Ronnie, I'm going to have you come in a second. I want to talk about my next point in this discussion, which is going to be security and protection. And I call it a false sense of security and protection. I've heard a lot of women say that, and I need a tall dude, or I know it's, you know, completely unrelated, but I need a tall dude, I need a thuggish dude because I want to feel protected. And I think the way women perceive bad boys is that they're strong like the Hulk, they're tough, they can protect the women, yada, 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 yada. As if a decent guy or a Christian man could not do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, I think it seems to me that a man can better protect a woman using his brain, i.e., keeping a job, staying out of trouble, supporting her and supporting the children. But I think that father thing is definitely plays a part in that as far as being protected. So, Blondie, I know you've heard that before. Like, why do you think that women always say that think that a thug or a bad boy is going to protect them more against physical attacks, or, you know, why do you think that is?
You know what? I'm going to have to say it's the same reason why I think Nikki said that, you know, the so-called bad boy is more aggressive. You know, you see the aggressiveness. I wasn't like the worst thug in the world, but, you know, I'm sure there was like some sense of, you know, if something were to happen, you know, I'm not running from it. And so I think that's what, you know, I'm not trying to call them, you know, a street person or a thug necessarily, but, you know, there's some guys that might be rougher around the edges. They don't really wear the suit and tie, you know what I mean? They're in the neighborhood, and due to their upbringing, you know, they're not really, you know, running away is not an option. And so, you know, they do give off that, like the sister said, the confidence, you know. And, you know, I'm speaking from experience. I'm not the tallest guy, you know, but I know that whoever knows me knows that they can go into any battle with confidence because I'm not going nowhere. You know, I'm not running, and, you know I've surprised myself sometimes. But, yeah, you know, I think just the see, I just don't want to limit it to thug, you know, because I got some partners that, you know, you wouldn't be able to tell, but, you know, you don't want to see them, you know, upset or protecting himself or his family. And so, you know, I think I fall into that category too. But, you know, my exterior now, you know, I'm just like a regular Joe. But I know back when I was, you know, teenage and early 20s, you know, we've put on the outward, you know, showing of, you know, I guess a thug, you know. But I just know for the most part, you know, the homies that I grew up with, you know, I'm sure things haven't changed. You know, we didn't have an option to turn down, you know, that kind of excitement. You know, we had to defend ourselves and we had to protect what was ours, you know, even if it didn't even belong to us. But, yeah, I think that's what it is. So when you see a guy with the glasses or someone who doesn't fit the typical, stereotypical tough guy thing, you might put him in a box where he won't defend you as well as my man with the wife beater and the braids, you know. So, but you can't really rely on looks alone because, you know, sometimes that the facts are reversed in those phases. But on site, just judging, you know, superficially, I can understand why, you know, they would think a thug would protect them more than, you know, an accountant. But that's not necessarily always true. You know what I mean? I know there's some, you know.
Oh, man, it's definitely not true. I mean, I've seen, absolutely. I've seen, you know, go to YouTube, man. You see full of videos where so-called looking thugs are being well done by old white dudes, man. I mean,
yeah.
Now you can go on YouTube and see a lot of those videos, man. But I don't think that someone's appearance is really necessary indicator of how well they can protect you. I know a lot of dudes who are you know warriors, man. These are, you know, warriors, you know, but they on the external they're very peaceful guys, quiet guys, you know, just mild mannered dudes. But if it comes down to, like Ronnie said, if it comes down to the crunch, then they'll definitely, you know, get down to business. But I mean, so I think that's can be a poor indicator. Alicia, do you as a woman, do you feel like that? Do you feel like if a guy looks a certain way, you feel like, do you feel more safe around certain dudes, or do you feel less safe around a guy, you know, that's maybe more mild mannered?
I would, for myself, I guess, thinking naturally, if a person has a lot of physical stature, it may be normal for a woman to feel comfortable in their presence. You know, I was just thinking about a tweet that I remember Sherry Shepherd sending a few months ago, and she was saying, oh, because her husband's like 6'5 and what have you. She made the comment, oh, he's my bodyguard, you know. And so I don't think it's uncommon for a woman when you're with a man who has, you know, as big as a football player to naturally feel if something comes up, he's going to be able to handle his business. And that's not to necessarily say that if a person's smaller in stature that if something were to come up that you would feel like he wouldn't in some way, you know, be protective. I think it also just combines that with or goes to the fact that how does that man, you know, conduct himself. Like if you were out and somebody were to say something, you know, is he going to be hot-headed or would he, you know, speak up? So it could also go very specifically to that individual, just kind of the presence that they even have in handling a situation if it were to come up while you guys were out. So maybe for myself, I think it is nice to have a guy who's bigger in stature, but does that necessarily disqualify a man who's maybe smaller? I wouldn't say that that's the case.
Okay. Good point. Nikki, I'm going to ask that same question to you.
Well, human nature, we're attracted to what we see. So, and until we get into knowing how to discern behind what we see, we're going to go with what we see until we see something, find out something different behind the visual. Me personally, I'm 5'2". I have four brothers. My tallest brother is 5'9". And it's like, so the stature thing doesn't necessarily mean security and protection because my oldest brother is only 5'5", 5'6". And I've seen him literally fold up guys that's like 6'5", like a paper towel. So size doesn't mean anything. I just think it's your preference. But, you know, and then the guy that has the wife beater and the braids in his hair, you know, if you come from that type of an area to where these guys are the aggressors, then, yeah, you can be drawn to that. But then once again, like we went back to, like Alicia was saying earlier in the show, but once you become mature, sometimes although the guy with the wife beater and the braids can be aggressive, that may not be a secure situation because if he's a hothead, or whatever, and he's liable to just flip at the drop of a hat on, say, an accountant, that accountant might beat the brakes off of him and you with his calculator. So it's like, I just think that it's, I guess it depends upon the person, their discernment and their maturity. So that's my point on that.
All right. That's a good point, Nikki. Pamela, I want to ask that question too. You've been kind of quiet.
Yeah, I really like what she just expressed, because I was feeling the same way. Women want a queen. We want someone that can cover us, protect us. But a lot of times it's based on the person's ability to speak or how they present themselves. And a lot of times those hothead kind of guys, they can bring more trouble, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that is not attractive. Now, you get a guy that knows how to carry himself, whether he has a suit on that day or he has jeans or a shirt, a white shirt that day, it's how he approaches the situation. A woman is going to gauge if that man is able to protect her or cover her, how he presents himself in a situation. And we need to see that. We need to know how he's going to carry himself. That gives us confidence that this man can definitely make good decisions. He has good judgment skills. He can solve problems. He's quick to respond to situations. All that's going to play a part in how we're going to choose that man. So we certainly don't want a man that doesn't know how to respond correctly, because then that's going to be a reflection of us. And a woman wants to be the reflection of her man and how she perceives herself. And so, you know, you got to look at the mentality of where the woman is. Is she mature, or is she still in a little girl's state of mind, you know? And that's how we're going to choose to pick our men, whether they're, like I said, dressed up in a suit and a tie and they can conduct themselves. If they have to go gangster and they have to do it with diplomacy, hey, they may have to go there, but the woman is going to look at how he presents himself. Is he a classy man? A classy woman wants a classy man. So
right.
She definitely needs a man that can cover her if they get into a situation in an environment where she really needs him to step it up. So I prefer a man that knows how to put it together well, but if it's a dress down day, he still knows how to conduct himself in that setting as well.
Nobody wants to have a man where it's like I have to take off my heels and put my weave in a ponytail because I got to fight for both of us. I mean, no, nobody wants that.
No, and I would agree. I think that's just the nature of a woman, and the nature of most men, I would say, is to be the protector and the covering. That's the way God designed them, and even for women, that's what we desire in a man. And so I definitely agree. I think it doesn't boil down to necessarily how tall you are, how big you are. For some women, that is the case, but that doesn't necessarily always add up to you being able to cover an individual.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, that leads me to my next question, and I'm gonna pose this question to PK, and I'm gonna pose the same question to Alicia, and then we'll probably take this around the panel. And my next question is, do Christian men who are serving God lack supposedly valuable characteristics that worldly bad boys have? We've been talking about certain characteristics, you know, the aggressiveness and the persona that, which really and truly, in my opinion, can be an act in most situations. It's a persona, you know what I'm saying? So do you think that Christian men lack those kind of qualities when you observe men at church, PK?
For me, I don't think so. I feel just because they have a belief in a higher power, that they lack those qualities, because still underneath all of that, they are still a person. And to me, it depends on what they decide to come with one day opposed to another, and the situation and what the situation calls for, you know, that brings, you know, that hood side out of them, or that calm side out of them, or the really quiet side out of them. I mean, it depends on the situation and what the situation calls for me. So, no, I definitely think they don't like that. And personally, I mean, with me, the churches that I've been to, I saw a lot of men basically being quote-unquote hoes, you know. I lived across from a pastor that slept with up to 9 women and was trying to, you know, add on to that. And he had a wife. His wife knew what he was doing. And he portrayed one image to the public, but inside the church, all hell was breaking loose. So I just feel it depends on the person, the situation, and what it calls for.
Okay, absolutely. Nikki, I'm going to ask the same question to you.
The question was, repeat the question again so I can answer you correctly without going on a tangent.
Okay. The question was that, let me see what my point is at. Okay. Do Christian men lack supposedly the characteristics that the so-called thugs and bad boys portray? Do you find that Christian men lack those characteristics?
I think yes and no, because like I said, it goes back to the Christian man or the man that's the believer that's in the church. They're not as assertive because they are trying to, the ones that I've run across, they're trying to turn off that man of the world, the true ones. They're trying to turn off that man of the world and be someone different. But what it is, my personal opinion is, when it comes down to the battle of the spirit and the flesh, there are no such thing as good guys and bad guys, because even the so-called good guys get caught up in bad behavior too, because, you know, being single in the church and outside of the church is frustrating, you know, especially if someone truly desires someone to share their life with or companionship or something like that. So, I mean, it can be a yes and a no. If the guy is really truly searching and has dedicated himself to the Lord, then, yeah, he can lack those qualities, I guess, of the world that women of the world or even in the church are attracted to, because he's not as assertive. He turns it off. But if he's like, you know, playing hokey pokey, he got one foot in and one foot out, then it's like, no, he doesn't lack them, because it's like he'll be in there, you know, fake praising God, and then soon as church is over and he catch that sister in the foyer, you see 3 and 4 different women a week that, you know, he all over to the side talking to. He's doing the same stuff as the dudes in the world and smashing all over the place, but yet still coming to church saying he's saved. So it just depends upon the man you run across.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. That's a good point. Well, guys, we're actually running out of time. We're just getting into this topic, man, and we're running out of time, so that's pretty crazy. So I want to quickly, if you will, real quick, I want to go down the panel, and I want to thank Alicia for coming on the show tonight. She did a very good job, as always. And Alicia, what's your last comments about tonight's show?
Well, thanks for having me, Raz. Hopefully a lot of women and men as well listen, learned, and were able to take something away. That's always, you know, my desire, is that anytime we're doing a topic, that people glean something from what was mentioned. And I think you can't, you know, paint everyone with the same brush. You have to be able to look at each individual and, most importantly, go to the heart of the person and, you know, seek God when it comes to any person you're going to be getting into a relationship with. So I'll sum it up with that kind of quickly, because I know we're short on time.
All right. And, Ronnie, real quick, what do you have to say about the show?
I think it was informative for me. And another thing that I saw, that I think it is a bind that, you know, like, let's say a brother in the church who's just trying to sever, you know, his worldly ways, but he's still looking for somebody. You know, how do you really do that without, you know, looking lustful, and how do you do that without missing out on opportunities? So, you know, I think it's something to consider for, you know, the men out there to, you know, hear, listen to what these ladies are saying. You know, be a little more aggressive so that, you know, they're not just swooped up by the wrong kind of person. And also hear what the ladies are saying about, you know, when they're trying to say hi to you, you know, they're not necessarily trying to give you the wrong signals, but, you know, use some discernment and don't just lay in the background, you know, for the person who wants somebody in their life and they're living holy. You know, you still have to go forward and make yourself known and, you know, ask and you'll receive it. So, you know, just let the women know that, you know, you're available and you're looking for somebody that you're looking for a wife and not a girlfriend. And so, just, you know, I hope this show is helpful to somebody who's in that situation. I know my eyes were open to some stuff.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Ryan, for coming on the show. Guys, we're running out of time now, so I want to say thank you to Pamela. I want to say thank you for Nikki for coming on the show. I want to thank PK for being on the show, and hopefully we can have you guys back real soon. And that's it. That's all we have tonight for Can We Talk Radio. Tune in same time next week, every Friday, 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Have a blessed one.
Don't have the sun on flow. Music to get that flow. Beast of God's gonna turn the flow. Cadillac go. Maybach go. Pentacoupe on. Share the hoop on. Trappin' in that giveaway. Watch the scars they give away. The more I give away, I got more coming back to me. Give you plenty more. Get the wheel with plenty doors. Got a tub with plenty more. Don't forget to thank the Lord. Act with pride. Don't think twice. Persecute if you got balls when you ride on 24.
Screens falling down. It's Mr. Dale from the M-Town. Behind the limo 10 and I'm sitting sideways. I would brag on the rhyme, but the Christ paid. For the 10 wood, boy, you know I look good. Remote control, got it picking like a Fleetwood. Shorty, I'm so hood, yes, we do it real big. I ride slow for my kids, folks and little kids. They say he's so rich, I say I'm so blessed. No slang gay, but I stay dope. Like blow a tree, all you gotta do is say yes. And you'll be riding with the best, and there's nothing less. I like the boast in him, riding on them grown men. I spit this testament, gangsta, but I'm heaven sent. So I'ma take it to the south where we feel whole. And swing foes, case your ride on 24.
We ride on
24.
We ride on 24. We ride on 24. Saving.
Hey.
You ain't never seen a church poor riding with the top down swerving. Everybody see me bend the curb. Every whip on 24s, every crib got 50 doors.